All right. Praise the Lord. Hey, welcome everybody to Open Arms Community Church and to our new series called Contagious. If you haven't already, I want to invite you to open up your program to the outline of today's discussion. And as we dive in, how many know that school season has started? Yeah. Parents celebrate, children moan, right? So the school year has begun. And, you know, there's another way of describing school beyond just being an institution of education. How about an incubator for sickness? Okay, if you're a family person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Little Johnny and little Susie go to school, happy and healthy, and then they get there, and they are learning their ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, and somebody sneezes, right? And all of a sudden, some little grimy monster who is wiping his boogery nose with his hand, and he hands his paper to little Johnny to check, right? And then he goes up, and he uses the same water fountain as everybody else, and he's taking that little boogery, germy hand, and he's pressing on the water fountain button that everybody else is going to, and then, oh, little Susie broke her pencil, and what a kind friend he is. Here, borrow my pencil. And so she's taking what he has chewed on and snotted on and writing on her own test, right? Are you following with me so far? And then as this little germ monster has passed it on to Susie and Johnny, they each go onto their little buses not realizing, sneeze. Now they're passing it to the other kids in the bus, not even just their classroom. And then they come home and the gift keeps on giving, right? And so now brothers and sisters and moms and dads end up catching whatever this thing is, right? And then it doesn't stay there. Mom and dad take it on into work, right? And pass it around the workplace. Friends, this is what contagious looks like. How many have ever experienced the blessing of that little child that you love so much, or that spouse, or even a friend coming and sharing the love with you? Huh? Sure, we all have. And whether you realize it or not, that principle of being contagious and catching something and spreading something is actually how the Christian faith is supposed to work. This life that you and I have experienced from God, this new life in Jesus Christ, is something that is meant to be caught and then spread. In fact, if you listen to how Jesus described becoming a child of God, being born again, right? In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, no one enters the kingdom of God. Nobody goes to heaven unless they're born again. And then this religious leader named Nick, he's sitting there talking to Jesus, and he said, yo, Big J, you got to break it down for me, man. No, he didn't say that. But he did say, how in the world is that possible? I mean, you can only be born once. And then Jesus responded in this way. Check this out in your outlines. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Now, there's a bit of a varied viewpoint here when it comes to the water part of this equation. Some people here believe that he's saying you must be baptized in water and then born of the Spirit as well in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. But others don't believe that because of the context. They believe that the water referred here to is the water of the womb, the amniotic fluid, and being born of the flesh first. And the reason, and I think that's probably what he's saying here because of what he goes on to say in verse 6. He says, flesh gives birth to flesh. So consistent with the context, right? So you're born of a woman first, but then he says, spirit gives birth to spirit. Well, how does one get born of the Spirit? Like, how does that work? Well, later on, he was talking to his disciples in John chapter 14, and he said, listen, I'm leaving, but I will not leave you as orphans. Notice in verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, different translations, counselor, comforter, helper, and so on, strengthener, to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. So we're talking about the Spirit, right? Talking about the Spirit of God. Now look what he says. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, underline with. How many understand the Spirit being with you? Like Jesus was with the disciples. That's pretty understandable, right? Like we're with one another right now. In fact, somebody is with you in the row you're in. They're sitting near you, right? So that's with. We get with. But he didn't stop there. Notice the next part. He says, for he lives with you and will be in you. Circle in. Now, there's a lot here that we could talk about, and we honestly don't have time to unpack everything that's in there regarding the ministry and the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. But what I want you to catch here, literally catch, is that the Holy Spirit enters in. The Spirit of God enters in very much like you might think of a virus or a germ, right? Now that's the bad way that infection spreads, that sickness spreads, is that a germ, a virus, a bacteria, whatever, enters into us, and then all of a sudden, bad things begin to grow on the inside. And we get worse, right? But here, Jesus is describing this new life as something that is like a virus or a germ or a bacteria. It enters into us, and it begins to change us. Starting from the inside, working its way out. How many know the germ enters in, starts on the inside before you can ever see it? You're infected, you're getting sick, whether you realize it or not. And then one day, all of a sudden, the symptoms, boom, there they are. You're hacking, you got itchy eyes, sore throat, plugged ears, right? Well, similarly, the Holy Spirit enters us and begins this infection, this growing on the inside that changes us for the good to such a degree that one day, while there should be outward manifestations in this life, but one day even our very body will be changed. That's how complete this kind of change that God wants to bring in our life is. But here's what I want you to notice. The Holy Spirit comes in you. You circled that, right? And so like this bacteria, we catch it and it begins to take over, but it shouldn't stop there. We should spread it as well. So this kind of thing, this work of God, is referred to by C.S. Lewis in his book Mere Christianity as a good infection. So follow along with a portion of that book with me. It says, good things as well as bad, you know, are caught by a kind of infection. How many have ever been at a football game? And all of a sudden, you're just sitting there, but somebody starts the wave. You didn't start it. You probably have no desire to do it. But because everybody else is, all of a sudden you find yourself standing up, right? Well, what just happened? You caught something. You were influenced, right? You know, if I were to walk in here with a fresh-made bagel and cream cheese, already freshly toasted, you would, all of a sudden, what would happen? Your mouth would begin to water. Right? Because something is entering into you, it's beginning to change you and affect you. Right? If I were to yawn. Right? Oh, I feel another one. How many of us you know, start to feel that urge to yawn, right? But something changes. And so he says, listen, good things as well as bad, you know, are caught by a kind of infection. If you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get in the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them. They are not a sort of prize which God could, if he chose, just hand out to anyone. They are a great fountain of energy and beauty spurting up at the very center of reality. If you are close to it, the spray will wet you. If you are not, you will remain dry. Now, the whole offer which Christianity makes is this, that we can, if we let God have his way, come to share in the life of Christ. He came to this world and became a man in order to spread to other men the kind of life he has by what I call a good infection. Every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. I want you to circle the phrase good infection. Now, of course, the whole purpose of this good infection is not to just make you a good person. It's not to help you feel better about yourself or about your life. And in fact, at first, this good infection may make you feel bad. You'll have to detox. So things might get worse instead of better as God tries to help you walk through the detoxing of your life, the unlearning of a lifetime of doing it wrong, and the learning anew the right way to do things. But it all starts not with you thinking, man, I need a change. I just need to be better. I just need to work harder. I need to be gooder. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not going to change. It's not going to start just because you want to be a better person. Oh, you can be better on your own. But better isn't what you need. You don't just need good. You need a new life. And the love and the peace and the joy, I want you to notice here, it's not something that you get when you follow Jesus. It's someone. So this good infection is good in two ways. Number one, it's good for you. It's beneficial. But number two, you're literally being infected by goodness. And that infection, that germ of goodness begins to grow and make you good. You're literally being infected by God himself, who is good. Right? And friends, so many of us, we don't understand this. And so when we come to church, we go to church for the first time. And herein lies one of the great disappointments that many people have with church and religion, is they thought, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to ask God to give me love, give me hope, give me peace, give me joy, give me strength, give me power, give me truth. And we missed a very important point, is that God is good. God is love. God is truth. God is life. And so everything that you're wanting, everything that you're chasing after, isn't a thing at all. It's a person. And in order for you to have that which you want so badly, you can't ask him to give you something because it's not a thing at all. You don't need more love, joy, peace, patience, hope, and so on in your life. You need more of God. That's how it grows. And then we pass it on to others. But here is the rub. We can't give what we don't have, right? We can't infect people with something we ourselves are not infected with. We can't spread it. So this is the key issue, is are we ourselves, first and foremost, infected with this good infection? Well, in your outlines, you'll note, if we've caught this good infection of the God life, there should be symptoms. There should be a proof. For those of us that have children, we've all had those days where it's a school day and down comes our little munchkin.
I don't feel good. I don't want to go to school.
And so we ask them the major questions. Have you vomited?
No.
Do you have diarrhea?
No.
Come here and let me take your temperature. No temperature. Guess what that means? Faker. Hooky player. You're not sick. You're going to school, right? There's got to be symptoms. Some proof that we are, in fact, sick. Well, one of the typical symptoms of an infection, of being sick, is a fever. Agreed? Oftentimes, the body begins to fight the infection with a fever. And notice in your outlines, Romans chapter 12 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Circle the word fervor. This is the Greek word zeo, and it means to be hot. It means to boil over with heat. It means to be glowing hot. So we are to never be lacking in zeal, but to stay hot, keep our fervor, our fever for the Lord. So are we on fire? Do we have a fever for the Lord? I want you to think, this will look different for every person, because we're all wired differently. We got different personalities. So for some of us, it's going to come out with us jumping up and down and yelling and screaming hallelujah. And for others, it's going to show up with a very quiet prayer. But here's something that it will always look like. It's described in the song On Fire by Switchfoot. And he says, I'm on fire when you're near me. I'm on fire when you speak. Right? There's something that stirs in us and we just want more. And he goes on to say, I'm on fire burning at these mysteries. And then he says, you are the mystery. Is there something that stirs? Is there a longing? Is there this growing boil within us that we just want more and more of the Lord? Are we on fire? Do we have a fever that says we're infected? Because in your outlines, no fever, no infection. If you can be blasé, if you can be humdrum and then you haven't met the creator of the universe. I'm sorry. But if we really get it, if we really grasp who has done what and why and for whom, I'm sorry, friends. And if we really understand what's at stake, not only for our own selves, but for our family, our children, our spouse, our parents and siblings, for our friends and coworkers, if we really believe what Jesus said and what Scripture teaches from cover to cover, friends, this is no small thing. It is the biggest thing of all things, the most important of all things. How can we not have a fire, a fever? If we're infected, we will. Some of the other symptoms are found in Galatians chapter 5. And these are short lists. They're not all inclusive. But it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Notice the fruit of the Spirit. So this is the product. What the Spirit in you produces. This is the symptoms, if you will, of the Holy Spirit being in you that show He's in there. Right? Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, your life should change. The old way of doing things, the old attitudes, the old words, the old thought patterns, Jesus wants to change it all. He has a new and better life that he came to offer you. Jesus described it in John 10:10 this way: I have come that you may have life and life to the full. Right? Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, so this new life is produced in us how? We are infected by the Spirit. Right? And since we live by the Spirit, he says what? Well, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Stay in sync with him. Cooperate. When he wants to do it a different way than you're used to, do it his way instead of the old way. Is this making sense? So are we infected? When the Holy Spirit infects you, when the germ enters in and begins to germinate and grow in you, it produces certain symptoms. And what do they look like? A different person. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? Are these things showing up? Now, let's be fair. They don't look, you know, just because I may have started with a better disposition than you did, or vice versa, you know, peace or kindness may come a little bit easier for you. I'll give you an example. My wife, before she ever came to Jesus, was one of the nicest people I ever knew. She was a very kind-hearted person all her life. It's just God wired her to be thoughtful of other people more than herself, to be very giving by nature, and to show kindness and very high empathy and sympathy. Now, Mike, no. The work of Jesus in both our lives has only brought us closer to the Lord and changed that. I'm a much kinder person today. But if you were to look at my kindness level compared to Marnie's, it doesn't look so big. But she started at a much higher point than I did, right? So it's going to look different. And don't get into comparing yourself with other people to see whether you're better or worse than them. Focus on where you're at today compared to where you were yesterday. This is about your change, not how you've changed in comparison to others, okay? So we let the Holy Spirit work in us. And this is the work of the Spirit in you, not your own effort to say, I'm going to be better. I'm going to stop doing this and I'm going to start doing that. Well, you can. If you have enough self-discipline, and some people have more of that than others too by disposition, then starting things and stopping things may come a little easier for you. But you missed the point. You missed the point. This isn't you changing just the outside. I'm going to start being kinder. I'm going to start being more loving. I'm going to be more patient. Those are all the externals, but you can't really, truly change the outside without changing the inside. Not permanently. Let me put it to you this way. How many have ever worked really, really hard to get a stuffy nose, scratchy throat, and congested lungs? No one. No, we avoid those things. We fight against that. That's the infection. And friends, it's the same way. When the germ of God is in you, it begins to grow and produce the symptoms as a part of you. It's not something that you work harder on. It's something that you actually just let happen more and more and quit fighting it. Another example, my oldest son, Kai, is the best puker ever. And my wife also. When they start to feel sick, they'll just go into the bathroom, vomit, and then they're better. Not me. I hate vomiting. You don't understand. I hate it. I will grab the toilet and I will tense up my body and fight it till there is literally, you ask my wife, literally a pool of water under me, sweat, because I will not puke. We've been married 21 years, and ask her when she's ever seen me puke. I fight it. I hate it. But I stay sick longer than her. Right? So, in your outlines, you cannot have the fruit. By the word fruit, you can put symptoms if you want. In your life, without the seed, that would be the germ in your heart. In 1 John chapter 3, it describes the seed of God being in us. Well, seeds must germinate in order to produce life, right? So, notice that you are not infected with God doesn't just give you goodness or love or peace or strength. He gives you himself. And because God is truth and God is good and God is love and God is all those other things that we want and long for, they begin to grow in our life more and more. And that's how sickness works, doesn't it? It's not like one minute you're happy and healthy and everything all of a sudden, just in a matter of a second, you are on the floor, delirious, puking, diarrhea. No. You feel it come on, and it grows. And then you feel like Mount St. Helens erupts, right? Now we get to the real crux of the issue. So if we want more and more of this life, then what we really want is more and more of the Lord, whether we knew it or not. And this is the point of all of it. It's not just about your benefit. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. In another place, he said, go and preach the good news to everyone. What's he saying? Go and spread the infection, right? And now, in your outlines, notice, if you are infected with the God life, then you should be contagious. And in fairness, not everybody is going to want to be infected, like myself, not wanting whatever puking sickness is out there. I will fight that, and there will be some resistance. But by and large, when we say that our lives should be contagious, means not only should we be spreading it because Jesus told us to, and that means that's part of Christian faith. And so if we're not doing it, we really have to question, are we living out this life God's told us to? But the other side of it is, it should be contagious in the other sense of the word. There should be an attractiveness to it. Like when people look at our lives and our person, they should see love, peace, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and so on. There should be these attractive qualities about us. And when we talk about the Lord and what he's doing in our life, and when we talk about going to church or celebrating God, like there should be something that's excited about us to stir in them and say, I don't know what they've got, but I want that, right? It should be contagious. Are our lives attractive for Jesus? As Jesus followers, are we contagious? Are we turning people on or turning people off of the faith? Are we infecting both by accident as well as are we infecting intentionally? Those whose paths we cross with the germ of this good infection, the life of God. Are we spreading it? How does that look? Well, we're going to talk about that over the next 4 weeks. But for today, let me just wrap it up this way. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "Live such good lives among the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us." You want to know what it looks like? It looks like living your life in such a way that the light of Christ shines in all that you do, and people see it. How many remember the Newsboys song, "Shine"? Shine, make them wonder what you got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. Shine, let it shine before all men. Let them see your works and then let them glorify the Lord. Right? So shine. Or say it this way in your outlines, live it right and live it well. Amen? In other words, cooperate with the germ of the Holy Spirit working in you and how he wants to change you and begin to take over more and more of your body like a good infection, so that instead of a cough, you have joy and laughter. Instead of deliriousness, you have truth that guides and directs your mind, right? Instead of harsh, crude, or vulgar language, you have love, right? Instead of meanness and hardness, you have kindness. Instead of anxiety and stress and anger, you have peace. Are we cooperating? Are we infected today with the Holy Spirit of God, this new life? And if we are we cooperating with it? Or are we fighting it? Let's close our eyes for a moment as we wrap things up here. And I just want to ask you, have you accepted this good infection? And not just do you believe in it. I believe in the flu, but I don't have it. But have you received this good infection? The Holy Spirit coming in and germinating and making you a new person from the inside out. If you haven't, then we're going to expose you today to this new life, give you the opportunity to receive it with a simple prayer. That's how we get it. But for some of us, we have not only believed, but we have received this new life, but we've allowed it to manifest in certain ways, but we have really resisted other areas and changes that God wants to bring into our life. And today I just want to encourage you, if you find yourself in that position and you sense God tugging on your heart saying, it's time to just give it all, let God have his way in every area of your life, then I want to invite you to say this same prayer of commitment as a recommitment. Our church family will pray with you so no one will feel alone. And you don't have to worry about what you'll say, because I'll say the prayer and you can repeat after me. But here's the important part. Do you believe it? And do you mean it? If it's in your heart to say this prayer for the first time or as a recommitment, pray with me. Say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I confess that I've been infected with my own selfishness. It has manifested in very destructive ways. I've hurt others. I've hurt you. And I've hurt myself. And I was wrong. Please forgive me. Today I ask you to enter my heart and my life in the power of the Spirit with Jesus as Lord. Begin a new work, a new life in me. That good infection that will spread into every area of my life and through me into the lives of others. Have your way, Lord. Make me this new person to become all that you made me to be. To the glory of God, for my own gain, and for the benefit of others, to my last breath. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.